This is Greg Olson, inviting you to check out my new Blue Wire podcast, TE1, where I interview tight ends throughout the history of the NFL who have helped revolutionize the position. TE1 is presented by the Chevy Silverado. The Silverado is all about grit. It's strong and dependable, exactly like playing tight end. Just like the incredible players we sit down with on the podcast, the Chevy Silverado is in a league of its own. Strong, advanced, and dependable. Download TE1 today, wherever you listen to podcasts.
And welcome to episode 30 of the Talking Hockey Podcast. It's your usual four today. We have had no guests for a while. Eric, you want to get on that?
I think it's Martin's job.
Martin's job. Martin?
Trevor anyway. Didn't respond.
Oh, well, that's too bad. Anyway, today we got Ty, Luke, Martin, and Eric, as usual. And we're going to talk about the awards that just happened yesterday. And
it wasn't yesterday, buddy. It was like a few days ago.
It was maybe Monday.
It was at least Monday.
Okay.
But either way, we record on Wednesdays. We post on Fridays. So
it doesn't. Okay. It was sometime this week.
So the listeners 5 days, yeah. 5 days ago.
Yes.
Ty, the take four was almost just as bad as take 3, 2, and 1. But it's okay. We're going to keep this one. Sometimes you need to be embarrassed on this show. Last episode was Martin and Eric getting embarrassed. This episode, that's you.
Okay. Well, I wanted to say episode 30, I can't believe we made it so far. Time flies.
It does. Time flies when you're having fun. We've had a NHL player. We've had some journalists and scouts. Next is...
Kyle Dubas,
correct. Or, you know, some fans. I think fans are higher up on the list. Oh, there is Martin. Welcome, Martin. Welcome back.
Martin, mute
your beautiful face.
Yeah, we've had some technical difficulties, but such is COVID life.
Such is Martin.
Yes. And he's still moving around. Luckily, his mic still picks up that. It's the noisiest chair in the fucking world.
Yeah.
I actually fixed it today and I'm pumped.
What'd you say?
I fixed it today and I'm pumped.
Your chair or your mic?
My chair.
Okay. Doesn't sound like it.
Put some WD-40 on your ass, okay?
It goes back again. I'm so happy.
Okay. Well, remember to speak into your mic. Right now, I hear more chair than you.
Okay.
Anyway.
Which award are we starting with?
Let's start with the best one, the Hart Trophy. Some people might say that the Hart Trophy winner isn't even a top player in the league, or a top 10 player in the league. Some people.
I know someone who says that.
His name is Eric Gopasing.
So, Eric, why don't you think he's a top 10?
First off, I do think he's a top 10 player. I don't think he had a top 10 season. There's a difference.
Oh.
Caveat.
Remember when you speak into the mic. I know you're eating chicken wings, and you have clearly different priorities about what's happening during this time slot. Martin's sipping on some brewskis.
We're all busy.
Guys, 6:15 to 7:15 on Wednesdays is supposed to be designated for the podcast, not your muck session.
You know what? I'm gonna leave my food right here, and I'm gonna speak.
Thank you. All right. So why isn't Draisaitl? Why didn't he have a top 10 year?
First off, he was basically outscored at even strength. So,
are you bringing plus minus into the conversation?
Plus minus?
No. Relax. Okay. I'm gonna hit you with some maths here.
Okay.
Okay.
That's too much.
That might be. That's too much. Is it kindergarten level math? Like, Ty can only handle so much.
It's kindergarten level math.
What's 9 plus 10?
It's
21, baby.
25, 34,
no,
17.
Right, Ty? I'm right.
21.
Right. Damn it.
Exactly.
I was close.
Thank you.
No, okay. So his expected goals against versus his goals for. So if you take his expected goals against, so you exclude goaltending and how whatever randomness happens behind him in net, and you take his goals for, what happened with him on the ice only at even strength, which is not plus what plus minus is, he was essentially a negative player. So you're giving the Hart Trophy to a guy that was basically outscored almost at even strength compared to a guy like Panarin that was like just killing the competition at even strength. And Panarin played with Jesper Fast and Ryan Strome, not Connor McDavid, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, and Kaylor Yamamoto. So that's the argument. I think it's a very solid argument. I think it's a very fair argument. Clearly some people disagree. clearly many people disagree.
Clearly a lot of people disagree.
Yeah. Well, every basically
what, all wait, dumb how many, people dis- how many, disagree.
How many first place votes did he get? Let's see. He got
91.
91 first place votes, and McKinnon got 48, which is absolutely ridiculous. Panarin got 24, which is even more ridiculous. So apparently 2/3.
Is this the one by the players, or is this the one by the media that you're hearing?
This is the media. This is the media elite. The media elite.
The players also voted Draisaitl as the most valuable player.
Okay, do you think the players watch hockey though? Like they went to NHL.com, points sort by top to bottom.
Yeah, on all their off nights, or well, I mean, on the nights they play, they're playing hockey. They're not watching.
Yeah,
and on their off nights, I'm sure they're not watching hockey.
Yeah, like the vast majority of the
unless
players.
You're Dougie Hamilton, maybe you're going to a museum.
There's literally like there's interviews with NHL players saying they never watch any NHL games, and then there's a couple guys like Mark Scheifele, who's apparently a real nerd when it comes to the NHL, and apparently he like even on his off nights he's just watching NHL games.
That's not a criticism to NHL players either. Like, I understand you're a professional athlete, man.
I know.
You play 82 games a year, and you know there's 10 games going on a night sometimes, right? 10, 15 games going on a night. You don't have time to watch them all.
You have practices almost every day.
Then and you have your own family life.
You have exactly like I don't expect NHL players to watch NHL games. Like they shouldn't. They'd go crazy. Most of them. Like that'd be an insane amount of hockey to deal with. Like you need to take your mind off of it somehow. And then there's a couple of them, guys like Mark Scheifele, like I mentioned, that apparently they don't care how much NHL hockey they play, they'll still watch the games, but most of them don't. So I guarantee you, obviously they know Draisaitl is a great player. There's no doubting that he's awesome. But like, and he's insanely skilled. He does all these amazing things with the puck. Like he's very flashy. He's very good. But like they didn't sit down and do a full analysis and were like, okay, you know what? Comparing Draisaitl of this guy to this guy this year, looking at whatever I want to look at, this is what my determination is. They didn't do that. I think we can be real about that.
You know what would be interesting to see? The average age of the people voting on the Hart Memorial Trophy.
Oh, that would be interesting.
Yeah.
Is it like older guys that are... Yeah.
It's probably all older guys.
But yeah, and I think that a lot of the West Coast guys, like there's a lot of the higher up guys who are from Edmonton, right? Like, or from Alberta. I'm trying to think their names off the top of my head. Like the top guy,
Ryan Rashog.
No. The top guy for the Professional Hockey Writers Association is, for like an Edmonton writer, right? I'm trying to think. I'm just gonna search up his name quickly.
Okay. Yeah, but I just don't understand how anyone could see Draisaitl being more valuable than McKinnon or Panarin was to their teams. Especially with the injuries at Colorado. Yeah.
Yeah, especially because really it wasn't close. It like wasn't close at all. Like that's the most shocking thing.
Like I kind of thought Panarin would come second.
I did too. But these votes finished before the playoffs, right? I just want to confirm that.
I heard they finished in March. Like they were
okay.
Like
so
almost before COVID.
They're only regular season.
Yeah. So it makes kind of even less sense in a way because McKinnon didn't have this insanely dominant playoffs where like you know how with the GM rankings that we talked or the GM awards that we talked about how like it was just a bias of who made it to the conference finals, that's who we're gonna pick for GM of the year. But with this, they didn't even have like the playoffs to go, oh, McKinnon had such a great playoffs, I'm gonna put him second. Like I would
Did by playoffs, Draisaitl lasted all of 5 games.
Yeah, so maybe Draisaitl would have fell then, but I can see the argument for McKinnon though. I can see why a lot of people did because people would just literally just look at how many games did all the players in Colorado miss and how many did McKinnon miss. McKinnon was there the entire year. Rantanen was gone, Landeskog was gone, Kadri missed a few games, Donskoy missed a few games. Burakovsky missed a few games. Makar missed a few games. Like, you go down the list of the players in Colorado, and all of them missed a lot of time, and McKinnon kind of dragged that team along still. So I can see why people just solely looked at that and were like, oh, okay, he's second.
So two things to say. Firstly, president of the Professional Hockey Writers Association is Mark Spector, Edmonton writer. Anyway, and secondly, you can say that MacKinnon had all his teammates missing all that time, but Valery Nichushkin was there all year.
You're not wrong. You are not wrong. So
some might say that he was also a candidate for MVP, but we're not naming names. But
none of the writers said that.
I know. That's the people who matter. Yeah.
Did get Selke votes though, which is pretty impressive.
Anyway, so I think that Draisaitl, I think we watch a lot more hockey than I think the majority of people do, right? And I do see a lot of Leon Draisaitl, and he was a dominant player on all year long, dude, like unstoppable. Firstly, how much of that was from the power play, Edmonton's power play being, you know, almost by far the best in the league? So yeah, so how much of his performance and his value and him putting up so many points was from the power play alone, right? Being the best power play in the league. And I think you kind of touched on it as well, playing with McDavid and Nugent Hopkins. I think that for the second half of the year, he wasn't playing as much with McDavid, but still.
Like,
he's good.
First half of the year, he did play with McDavid like a shit ton, basically, right?
Yeah.
But then halfway through the year, like January, give or take, they were like, okay, we need to, they put him on a line with Nugent Hopkins and Kailer Yamamoto, who in themselves are basically top line players. So I think a lot of the narrative is that like Draisaitl carried his own line, which somewhat he did, but like I don't think he had to really carry that line. That was already, those are already two very good players that were good individually.
Right? I think the other thing is that maybe a lot of the defensive criticisms for Draisaitl, it might be just Edmonton sucks at defense as a whole, right? Edmonton has like one guy who's good, Klefbom, and another guy who's like up and coming in Ethan Bear.
Yeah.
Other than that, they got a bunch of guys who are trash and can't get the puck out. Like Chris Russell and Darnell Nurse is overrated in my opinion, right?
Yeah, Darnell Nurse isn't that great of a hockey player, and despite what many Edmonton Oilers fans think.
And so, like, it could just be the entire team sucks defensively, and, you know, it could lead to his poor numbers. But I do agree that it seems like him and McDavid just aren't good defensively, but they will take advantage of you if you, you know, give up a chance the other way, right? And they'll score. And that is valuable, right?
Yeah. No, there's no doubting that Draisaitl and Draisaitl is an extremely valuable player. There's no doubting he's one of the best players in the league. I just don't see how you can make the argument that a guy that was almost outscored this year at even strength deserves the heart, and then piled up the power play points on a power play with Connor McDavid, Ryan Nugent Hopkins, Klefbom, who, although isn't like elite at even strength, is a very good quarterback on the power play, really good passer, has a decent shot, like, and all that. So like, I just don't get how you can make that argument. And I wish they should make a rule for the awards that because you're already having writers do it. I don't see why they don't mandate that every single writer write an explanation for why for each of their votes. It should be it's done by the Writers Association, and all they do is list names. You have this you have this privilege of being able to they make it way too easy. Like, because if you give a mandate that you have to write an explanation for each of your picks, you're guaranteeing that the other writers are going to have to think a lot more about their selection before they make it.
Mm-hmm.
Because how many of these writers are really going that depth in? And here's a perfect example, because this is the perfect example of what I mean. So in the Norris vote, someone voted for Esa Lindell as a third best defenseman in the NHL. And then I was searching the internet, and I was like, okay, I need to find out who the hell made this. And then eventually on Twitter, after like 20 minutes of searching, I came across the guy who did it. And he wrote his explanation down, actually, for why he believed Lindell was the third best defenseman in the NHL. And his reasoning was he played a lot of PK minutes. He had a lot of defensive zone starts, and he blocked a lot of shots. That was his explanation for Esa Lindell being the third best defenseman in the NHL. That was his only criteria. Literally, like I was going to post it. I am going to post it. Scratch that. I am going to post it later today because it was so ridiculous reading that explanation.
And now we'll be back after a word from our sponsors. Even though sports had a break, your business didn't. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier, like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the most important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/podcast. This is your best offer available everywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions may apply. Offer is valid through September 30th. The wait is finally over. Football is back. You might not be at the game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And now we'll get back into the show.
And
the so what's the point of putting up an explanation if, Eric, you don't agree with it? If the one
No, because then it exposes these writers, okay? Like, you expose them to go, okay, how much did they think about it?
Exposes how dumb they are.
Yeah, exposes how dumb they are and exposes, like, what their thought process was. Like, how deep into this thought process did you, into your thought process did you go to select Lindell? If your thought process was literally, I'm going to look at his block shots, his defensive zone starts, and then, and him, how many minutes he played on the PK, and that was the criteria used to rank him the third best defenseman in the NHL, then you get exposed, then you realize, then you get, you might, like, I'm not saying, like, they should get hate, but they should get criticism, at least, for their picks. And they and it's so hard to, like, give criticism when you don't have any understanding of what their basis was for their picks. Exactly.
Imagine watching Dallas and saying that Esa Lindell is the reason why they're so good instead of Heiskanen.
That's the thing. Like, that's what makes it worse. Klingberg and Heiskanen are better players on Dallas. I could probably name 3 better defensemen on Dallas than Lindell.
Who was this?
He's an I didn't even recognize who he was. Like, he's not a big hockey name by
him. Hey, whoever you are that voted Lindell, Eric Gopasing wants to scrap. I have his address.
You know what? Send it over. Honestly, that was. I'm so angry over that pick. Lindell's barely the third best defenseman on his own team.
Listen, somebody also gave Drew Doughty a top 3 vote.
Yeah, but I can see how they came with Drew Doughty because they were like, oh, who's really good? And who used to be really good, and they're like, oh, Drew Doughty, okay, I'm going to put him 3rd. That was their logic. That was the only logic they went through. I guarantee it. They didn't think about anything else.
No, I know.
They're like, just like, he's... Norris Trophy. With Lindell, they couldn't even say he used to be really good. There was nothing.
Maybe they were just fascinated by the double Ds.
Maybe. I like that. That was a good one, Luke. I'm proud of you. Good job.
I'm pretty clever.
Yeah, you are, for sure.
We should go to another award. We should go to the Ted Lindsay Award.
Listen, no. One second.
Same winner. Oh, yeah. Okay, sorry. Bye.
Good one. I think that if it were me voting, it was Artemi Panarin, and I can't believe that he wasn't even close to being the Hart Trophy winner. He had
I agree with Ty.
Artemi Panarin was insane this year, and like he had I don't remember if exactly the numbers, but I think in the entire history of expected goals being tracked, he had like the highest expected goals number or somewhere near the top. this season.
Yeah, accounting for his competition and stuff, like, it was insane in the minutes he played because he
and just
had,
how
like,
good he is.
Man, I wish I had the number right in front of me. But, like, his numbers, like, he had, like, a 60-something percent expected goal share, which is insane. Like, with Draisaitl, on the other hand, his goals for percentage was, like, 51%, which means he only scored 50, like, his team only dominated 51% of the goals when on the ice, which is fine, but it isn't elite by any means. And he got good goaltending when he was on the ice, too, which kind of helped that number.
Yes. So Draisaitl didn't deserve it. It should have been Panarin 1, McKinnon 2, Draisaitl 3, in my opinion.
Agreed.
Next to
well,
I would have put McKinnon first.
No, I don't agree. I agree with the Panarin and McKinnon stuff. I don't agree with the Draisaitl stuff, honestly. I was kind of exaggerating when I said he doesn't deserve to be top 10. But actually, at the same time, I could make a very clean argument for him not being top 10, I feel. Because I'm looking at the Hart Trophy list right now, and I would say McKinnon and Panarin, Hellebuyck, Roman Josi, Eichel, Brad Marchand, Kucherov, Elias Pettersson all had better years than Draisaitl did.
Pettersson only got 3 fifth place votes.
Which is absolutely insane. But that regardless... Insane. And then JT Miller got one. So somehow...
That was so funny. I saw that and I'm like, bro.
And Tristan Jarry got one too. So I don't know what people were doing. Jarry wasn't even top three in the Vezina. How do you have him fifth for the Hart? It doesn't make
any sense. Yeah,
there's no...
Anyway, let's move along here. Next one was a Ted Lizzie. That was the same thing though. So I think we can move along past that.
Yeah,
and
we
kind of touched on it.
Yeah.
I think that some of the other trophies, like the Norris, Josi won the Norris. There's nothing to complain about that one.
No, that one, except for John Carlson being second. I didn't like that, but other than that,
I think that like I was reading a.
But that's kind of like the norm. Normally he would have won.
Yeah. So it's actually almost like this year was definitely better in some areas. Like the right goalie. Okay. We're not going to get into that right now, but multiple different, awards actually were like pretty accurate.
Yeah,
like,
this was a slam dunk just because how good Josi was this year.
Yeah, Josi 100% deserved it. I think we're all on the same page there.
But
anyone disagrees.
It's surprising to me that I thought Carlson.
Who was the
like,
other D that got a Norris besides Norris vote besides Doughty?
Lindell.
Was it Lindell and Doughty? I thought there was another guy.
There's a couple.
Tony D'Angelo got one.
Yeah, D'Angelo got a vote. Chara got a vote. There's
Brodin,
some ridiculous
Oh, yeah,
one.
Chara.
Corey
Doughty,
Krug got a vote.
Krug, Spurgeon, Letang.
Who was third?
Two.
Who was third? I can't.
Hedman.
Third was Hedman.
Oh,
so Hedman probably, I don't think I would have had him third this year, but like that's a very easy one to argue that he should have been top three. And then Pietrangelo was fourth. But he only got one first place vote, which I find fascinating.
Where is Erik Karlsson? That's my question.
He had missed the entire year.
No, best player.
I mean, if Lindell got a vote, I feel like Karlsson should have got a vote.
I'm surprised Shea Theodore and Dougie Hamilton were as low as they were, to be honest.
Well, Dougie Hamilton broke his femur, I think.
Theodore had a great year, but like it was really the playoffs, I think, that catapulted him into... He's going to get way more Norris votes next year, just based off of reputation.
I think that... Dougie Hamilton, if he played the entire year, would have been right up there as well.
Okay,
just
so
that's how good he was.
So I don't know which one of, if any of you read my predictions for next year's awards. But
yeah,
who do you
saw,
guys think?
I saw your petty.
Who
comments.
Do you think? Who do you think is going to win the Norris next season?
Alex Pietrangelo on the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Oh, okay. I said if Pietrangelo is on the Leafs, he's not going to win.
If Makar has another year like he does, then I think
Makar's votes were interesting because he only had 2 fourth place votes and 17 fifth place votes. So that's not much. That's not a lot.
And Quinn Hughes had way less.
Yeah, Quinn Hughes he got 3. Yeah.
I don't think Karlsson will be able to repeat having the year that he did. It was pretty astronomical that way he started out. I think Hedman's probably a safe bet. Hedman's looked fantastic in the playoffs too. Like, I absolutely love Hedman. Dominating.
Especially considering he's supposed to be hurt.
Yeah, he has like one ankle. He's playing on one ankle, basically.
It's fucking so nuts. I would say Hedman is going to win. And then Theodore is going to come in third. Hamilton's going to come in second.
It's pretty, I feel like it's pretty easy to predict which defensemen are going to be in the top 3 to 4 once it's early season and you start to see the narratives kind of taking shape.
Yeah.
Like, it was easy to tell Carlson after the first like 5 games of the season that he'd be top 3. And it was easy to see like Roman Josi after the first 5-10 games, it was easy to see he'd be in the Norris conversation. Petrangelo, same thing.
I'm surprised Martin Marincin isn't on this
list.
Dude,
he was my vote. Anyway, I was going to say, now that PK Subban is gone, he stopped making Josi look bad. And that's why he won this year.
Oh, God. Well, Josi played a lot with Ellis, too, but whatever, ignoring that.
It's funny that Josi...
Will Spurgeon be a higher on the...
No, I was going to make a joke. Wait, Martin, wait for this joke, okay? Oh, I was going to say, it's funny that Josi was putting Subban on his back, but Subban's the one with the broken back.
Ha, ha, ha.
Oh, I think Luke, you should put in a laugh for that one. Luke,
you need to put in a laugh track or else you're...
No, oh, dude, it was so funny when we were listening to the podcast last week and he just bleeped out Martin.
Yo, he said a word that he said a brand of an alcohol that you can't say because we're not sponsored, okay? I had to do it. Until we're sponsored.
It's like, we should make our own beep.
I won't censor out your dick jokes or your swearing, but I'll censor out brands. We're sponsored by so I was on the Instagram.
We aren't sponsored by anymore. That's over.
Oh, okay, gotta bleep that out. That's going. That's going.
Bleep it.
That's over.
Who are current sponsors?
Hey, Eric, like most... who won the jersey?
Dude, I don't know. They pick.
No.
You said you pick. Know,
the jersey I pick, but I haven't picked one yet. I've just been like chilling.
Oh my god.
Hey, audience, if you want that jersey,
you know what?
Message Eric.
You know what? I'll do it right after this podcast and shout out who won. There you go.
It has to be somebody
An Eric promise.
It has to be one of the podcast hosts.
It definitely will not be one of the podcast hosts. It'll be whoever listens to this podcast. So if you listen to this podcast, go comment on the... Oh, wait, but I'm picking right after, so they won't have time. Damn it.
No, pick based off the comments. Well, okay, how can you say if the competition is like, comment, and share or whatever, and then you're like totally switch the rules of no, it has to be listened to the
ignore
podcast.
Whatever, everything I say, basically.
We're but cutting this. This has to be cut out, man. This contest is rigged, dude. We got... Get this off record.
I'm keeping it in.
Definitely not.
I want to banish Eric's public relations. Okay, that's the
honestly,
goal of my
this
life.
Podcast probably already has. Let's be real.
That's
I'm
true.
On a podcast with Ty.
Anyway,
back to Josi.
Josi, yeah, whatever.
whatever.
We talked about defense enough.
Whatever.
Calder.
Eric,
Memorial
how do you feel about
Trophy?
Slavin at number 5?
I like that. I feel like that's getting... He's finally getting some recognition, which is nice.
Okay.
I feel... But it's actually, like, that you can tell the advanced stats nerds are starting to take over a little bit. Like, some of these votes... Like, some of these
besides,
low votes,
besides
like...
the heart.
Like, Tony McAvoy, D'Angelo? Eric?
Like, well... but, like, the McAvoy pick, the Dougie Hamilton and Theodore and Slavin pick.
Hey, don't use your political bias to hate on the fact that analytics nerds love Tony D'Angelo, even though Tony D'Angelo does not love analytics nerds.
That was always the weirdest beef between D'Angelo and analytics, when analytics for years was like, D'Angelo's really good, he should get more minutes and playing time in the NHL. And then all of a sudden, like, analytics says something bad about his teammate, and then he was like, nope, I hate them forever now. Like the weirdest. Anyways,
that's how it works.
But like, you could see that it's starting to come in a bit, even with the heart. Like, there was some there's clearly some analytics type picks in the heart rankings, you know, would Panarin have been there in other years? I'm not sure. And also, would Draisaitl... Okay, so I listened to this video today. Draisaitl was there,
definitely would have been.
What?
For sure.
Do you think?
Panarin would have been there.
I don't know, man. But Draisaitl was the first player in Hart Trophy history to since like the 60s or something like that to win the award with a negative plus minus. It's an interesting stat for you. So maybe people are starting to ignore plus minus more, but then they're going over to points, which isn't exactly that much better. But regardless, I don't know. I found it interesting. Like, what are the odds that the first this is the first time ever that a player who is a negative won the Hart?
That is interesting.
Yeah. But anyways, moving on to the next award. What are we doing next? We did the Hart.
Calder Memorial. This was a toss-up, basically. Wait, coin flip.
For as much as you hate plus minus, that kind of shows how shitty he is at defense. Even that thing, that the really flawed stat,
exactly,
is showing how shitty he is defensively.
Like he had like the most points in at even strength.
And
as
he couldn't
well.
Even
he
be plus.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. Like it's such a crazy notion. And even if you take out the plus minus and use all the advanced stats I mentioned that take out all the awfulness of plus minus, it's still mind boggling. But anyways, Makar won the Calder.
Makes it more mind boggling that he won so badly.
Yeah.
Definitely. I agree.
This was the Calder was a coin toss basically. Hughes and Makar are both great.
Apparently it wasn't great. Though, because Makar got double the amount of first place votes. Like that doesn't seem very close.
Oh, yeah. Well, still, it was between those guys, is what I meant to say. Like,
yeah, it was.
I don't even know who came in third. Was it Kubalik who came in third?
Yeah, Kubalik with zero first place votes.
It was just those two guys, man. And I understand.
Like, I think Adam Fox should have gotten more consideration, but other than that, like, it had to be.
He had a first place vote.
He did have a first place vote.
A smart person put him first, man. Adam Fox was one of the top defensemen in the league this year.
Murat. I don't know how to say his last name.
The Winnipeg guy?
Yeah, the Winnipeg guy, yeah.
Athletic,
He's the one that ranked Adam Fox first, and he wrote a little piece on why he ranked him first and everything, and I read it. It was actually really good, really well argued. I think there's a strong argument to have him in the top three. I think there's a decent argument to have him first, but I would have given it to Makar as well.
Yes.
But I did watch more Colorado than Vancouver this year, so that's part of the like bias, I would say. And I think most of us probably also watched more Colorado than we did Vancouver this year.
I saw Colorado versus Leafs live. It was fantastic, except Spezza's massive mistake.
Oh, right. Whatever. You were there for that game, right?
That was sad. I was there for Kadri's return. It was nice.
And Spezza,
did you boo him?
I don't even know.
No, I love Kadri.
I think John Marino down at 8. It's pretty interesting.
Eric's blood was boiling when he saw that.
I was not going to lie. I was really mad. He was below Victor Olofsson, who, although had a decent rookie year, was just a very, very average player that got put on a line and a power play with Jack Eichel. And that was his production right there. Like, Olofsson, sure, good complimentary piece next beside Eichel, but he didn't do anything. He was just, I'm going to hit in whatever Jack Eichel puts in front of me. And he did it decently well. Put up whatever 20-something goals.
Well, he also died off.
And then he died off the second half of the year because he had a very hot first half where he was shooting like 40% or 30% or some nonsense.
And then Ty's boy is at 6.
Who's that?
Ty's favorite player.
Blackwood.
Ty's favorite goalie.
Oh, my God. Just wait, man. You'll see Sorokin and Shesterkin. Once you see those two goalies...
So
say Blackwood's trash.
How do you feel about Blackwood being 6th then?
Why?
I mean, is that your answer?
He had a good year. I don't know how you can ask why.
A good year and his team was still like bottom 3 in the league.
That just shows how bad New Jersey is.
Bad.
It's a very. Have you looked at the New Jersey team? Can you name like 8 players on that team?
Yes, I can. PK Subban.
Subban. Yeah.
Damon Severson. All these guys, the stats people like. And what happened there?
Tell Rachel Dory to do a better job with the Devils.
Maybe that's why she got fired.
She doesn't work there.
Oh, shit. My bad.
I hope you made my comment, but whatever.
What'd you say, Ty?
She should go back to work when there.
I did hear your comment.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to say it again.
I'll make sure to boost it for our audience.
Oh God. It was a joke. It was a joke. You can't leave that. You gotta turn the sound down for that.
Do I? Okay.
Yeah.
We gotta add some bleeps.
I'll forget. Yeah. I'll add some bleeps. All right. Next, what are we doing? Vezina?
Vezina was also a layup. Connor Hellebuck deserved the Vezina. Yes. Happy for him. Congratulations, Connor Hellebuck.
Yeah, also, why are there so few votes for Vezina compared to the other ones? Like,
yeah.
Who votes? I was actually going to ask GMs. That.
I think it's GMs.
Is it?
Yeah, oh, yeah, you're right, Martin. You're a smart guy.
Hmm. Well, this is why we have Martin on, to provide the facts.
Let's not say that.
How does that make sense?
No, wait, it can't be GMs. There's way more.
There's 30. There's 30 votes. There's 30 votes per number.
Oh, yeah.
So that's right.
Oh, there's 31. You can't vote. You're right.
Can you count? There's 30.
There's 30.
I'm pretty sure you can't vote for your own team.
Yeah, you can't vote for your own guy.
But there's still
19 plus 10 plus 1 GM is 30. Vote.
No, that doesn't make sense.
No.
There's 31 teams in the NHL.
Why are there only 30 votes then?
Yeah.
Because one of them can't vote for their own goalie.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. What?
Yeah.
If you are Kevin Cheveldayoff, you can't vote for Connor Hellebuck as the top goalie in the league.
There should still be 31 first place votes though.
But you could vote someone else.
Yeah. That's what I'm confused about. Anyway.
Maybe it's only the GMs that aren't named Kyle Dubas.
He's not a part of the old boys club, so he doesn't get it.
All right, let's Google this. Let's Google this. Hey, Siri.
Well, while you're Googling this,
who votes for the Vezina trophy?
Okay, I found this on the web for who votes for the Vezina trophy. Check it out.
The general managers of the NHL's 31 teams submit ballots for the Vezina trophy. The top three vote-getters designated as finalists.
So someone just didn't place a 30 first.
No,
first
each one has 30 votes. So I don't understand how that works.
So someone didn't vote at all.
Either someone. Well, maybe was the Arizona guy kind of like on the
yeah, they didn't have a GM, so they can vote.
Maybe that's how that worked.
Maybe.
There's nothing really interesting about the Vezina. Like Hellebuck clearly should have won. Tuukka Rask clearly should have come second. I think it's a little weird that Vasilevsky came third, but I mean, fine, fair, whatever. I mean,
Tuukka Rask's numbers are better than Hellebuck.
Well, Hellebuck was on a tire fire defensively, man. Jesus Christ.
Like, they literally lost.
Merzlikins at five is interesting. But
Merzlikins had a stretch where he had like four shutouts in a row. It's
fair. Yeah, but other than that, he wasn't actually that great. Like, he had a good month and a half or 2 months.
Also, he didn't even play the most games for Columbus.
Yeah, Korpisalo did. But
Korpisalo did.
That is
but
a really
he was good.
Vote.
Merzlikins is good, man. You'll see.
He is good.
And yeah, Robin Columbus Leonard wasn't even the starter for his own team as well.
Columbus has a lot of goalies coming through the system.
The market inefficiency.
At least one of the GMs agrees that Tristan Jarry is on one of the ballots.
I mean
it makes more sense that he's on Vezina than Hart. But
I mean, it makes more sense that he's seventh on Vezina than like 15th on Hart.
Yeah.
One vote for each, though. So
I feel like Markstrom kind of got robbed a little here. Like, fourth place after the season he had. Like, I don't know. I feel like he should be ahead of Vasilevsky.
He could have been better than Vasilevsky.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. He wouldn't have won anyway.
That's just, Vasilevsky had a shit ton of wins and was on the best team. So therefore, he's going to get a ton of votes. I feel like it was simply just that.
All right. So off of the Vezina now, what are we going to do?
The Selke. I think that's the only other one that really.
Lady Bing.
We briefly discuss all the other ones, I think. But
okay, so Selke, who won? Couturier?
Couturier.
Yeah, Couturier won, which is like finally about time. But
was he deserving this year, though, Eric?
No.
Or what?
Well, I think you can make the argument. I wouldn't say you can't make the argument. I just wouldn't make the argument that this was the year he should have won. But I don't have like a huge problem with it because like there was two or three years in a row where he probably should have won, where he didn't. So this is
at Patrice Bergeron.
Yeah, this is almost like one of those like legacy votes where it's like, oh, we finally are going to acknowledge that you are good at defense. Because you think it takes when, like 8 years later to figure that out.
Do you think when Bergeron retires, they're going to rename the trophy?
No. The NHL's too old school to rename like any of the trophies, I feel.
Dude, like who the hell is Selke?
I can ask Phil Pritchard if you want.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, just name drop that you know the keeper of the cup.
I do this every time.
Keeps name dropping him, but he never.
Have you actually met him?
Kyle name drops him, but he never gets him on the podcast. So
yeah,
I asked Brady, and she said absolutely not.
You can go above Brady's head.
Yeah, who cares about her? Go straight to the man.
This is true.
Yeah, like no offense to Brady, but you can just email him.
I have his phone number.
Okay,
you
so
just text him
right. Text him. On, get yeah. off this podcast. You're useless. Go and text him.
Hey guys, we haven't had a guest actually, for a while, you know but what? I have the keeper of the cup's phone number in my phone.
I don't. Okay, so I don't, but my friend does. My friend
oh
texts
my
him
God,
all the
there's
time.
There's a very big difference between you
oh,
having.
Is this Adam again?
Friend.
It's Jody. So, Jody texts him all the time. But I can get you in the Hockey Hall of Fame for free.
Thanks, man. The Hockey Hall of Fame is one of the most overrated places to go ever.
Bruh.
Me and Martin
never mind,
had a good
then.
Time there.
No offense, yeah. Phil. If you're listening
and,
right
me
now.
Me and Martin had date night, and we went to the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and you guys paid $40 to get in. I paid zero.
Did you take your, like, was it a double date?
No, it wasn't $40. It was like $20 or something. It was like $17, I think.
We didn't know about this option, Ty, and I'm a little mad.
Was it pre-knowing, Ty?
Yes.
Yeah.
I feel like your anger is misplaced there.
No, I think Martin knew Ty, but he didn't know him like well.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. He didn't know that.
It was
he
in
was...
August of last year.
Yeah.
Oh, that so was like. We talked day. Once. Yeah,
that
but.
That's when we were doing clips of the podcast.
Yeah.
We'd record an hour and a half and only release 5 minutes of it.
Anyway, I have met Phil Pritchard, I think, twice, three times.
That's, okay. That's dedication, though, Luke.
Yeah,
we record for an hour and only give like bits.
Has
of
the quality improved?
That's when Martin predicted
clips that anywhere we said anything slightly useful.
We didn't really know how to post a podcast yet, and then I learned, and then I forced Eric to understand that this podcasting could be great for the pod for the page, and that's where on one of those clips, Martin the genius predicted Dallas versus Tampa.
Look at that.
I still refuse to acknowledge that exists. And
I picked Tampa, Vegas. I was so close to being smarter than Martin, but at the end of the day, we all realized that Eric is the dumbest because he picked Boston and Colorado. No, he picked Colorado and the Leafs.
I picked Toronto something.
In Colorado.
Yeah, I think Toronto, Colorado or something like that.
And Ty picked Boston and...
But Toronto wasn't a real pick. Toronto was like, I really hope this happens.
We were fresh off
the Raptors winning. That wasn't an analytics pick. If it was an analytics pick, it was obviously.
Yeah,
terrible.
Sure. There's always a reasoning for everything, eh, Eric? hey, guys.
But anyway, should we just get back to the Selke?
Selke? Selke.
I said Selke.
He always calls it Selke.
I do call this Selke.
It's so annoying.
I just read it and I look at it. And I'm like,
all right, so I'm going to make a prediction that by episode 40, we will have Phil Pritchard on the podcast.
Ooh, I like it.
Well, you met Brady now, so you can DM her and ask. I've asked enough.
She won't accept my follow request.
Yeah, she doesn't accept mine either, but...
Oh, what?
She just doesn't like you.
It's her thing, man. I don't know.
It's a weird thing.
Who is this person?
Phil Pritchard's daughter.
Listen, we don't look at her like that, okay? She is my friend.
I don't think she's your friend. I think you're just like, I think like you're it. A guy that messages her and she's like, oh, get away.
No way.
No, I can tell you that they've been in the same room before and they talked. So.
Wow, they've been in the same room and talked before. Okay,
and she didn't run away.
Well, not
she didn't run away the first time.
Not that time, yeah.
And she was like, "I would not even allow this man to follow me on Instagram."
Well, literally, her Instagram bio is literally, "I will not follow back" or something.
I will not accept your follow request.
Yeah, so she followed me, but she did. I'm not allowed to follow her.
There's zero posts there to see anyway.
Yeah, so I'm just gonna slide into her DMs and be like, "Hey."
It's a weird mantra.
Yeah, that's a weird.
Very odd. I slide in the DMs.
Usually they won't follow you back after.
I know, right? Yeah, it's like reverse psychology. It's weird, but it's, you know, it's, if it's your thing, it's your thing.
Okay. Well, I like the prediction.
You can send her this clip.
Yeah.
This will convince her to ask her dad.
Yeah.
If anything, we'll convince her to never let Ty talk to her dad again.
Oh my god, this makes me look bad for sure. But
you make yourself look bad.
So anyway, at Travels with Stanley, if you follow Talking Hockey, you can follow that page as well.
Is that his page?
Yeah. And guess who Travels with Stanley follows, though? Me.
You. Hey,
so why don't you DM him? Christ, man.
Because okay, Phil does so not. Phil Pritchard does not run that account.
Brady's dad follows you, but Brady doesn't follow you. Is that what
you're saying? Brady's dad follows me on his account that is run by Brady.
So Brady follows you.
In a way.
Reach out to Brady's dad's account going through Brady.
Yes. Do this.
And if that doesn't work, I'm sure you can just Google his email. Is it a hockey? Does he work for the Hockey Hall of Fame?
I think we've taken this too far.
It's probably @hhof.com.
We've gone too far here. Okay, we're releasing too much personal information.
What do you mean?
If
Luke
Brady
just
ever
made
listens,
up an email.
I did. That is 100% made up.
I'm just saying, don't email that email. Yeah. If Brady ever listens to this, I'm sorry. She's going to be mad at me, but whatever.
Anyways, moving on to the Selke, because we've spent way too much time on this. There's some interesting names thrown in there, Ty. I feel like you would like some of them. I really like some of them.
Where's Nick Bonino?
He's number 12. He got one first place vote. Someone voted Nick Bonino the best player, defensive player in the NHL.
I didn't know Evolving Wild got a vote.
I don't even think Evolving Wild would have given that vote. Like, that's an extreme vote right there. And Austin Matthews got a first place vote too.
Well, that's a smart person.
Yeah, that seems deserved.
But I mean, Nishushkin at 8, Anthony Cirelli at 4.
Joe right behind Bonino. Yeah. I like that.
He's not even on the Sens.
They gave Martin a vote as well.
Yeah, they definitely did. Shame on them, though. There's some analytics picks in there, which I like. And then there's the old school, just vote for Patrice Bergeron picks.
I like the analytics picks.
That's what you sound like, Eric.
Oh, that is
To be honest, I don't like the Nishushkin pick at 8.
It should be 2.
Should be like number 1, obviously. But that's beside. No.
I think
Coleman.
How do you feel about Kopitar being at 7?
Yeah, I feel like that's kind of ridiculous. I feel like he didn't have a great year. I feel like there's always legacy votes. Like the Bergeron votes, clearly legacy votes. Kopitar votes, clearly legacy votes. Barkov votes, clearly
okay,
legacy votes.
But let's not act like Kopitar is close to winning, even though he's at 7th place. He hit 33 points. 6th place was 175. 1st place was 1,422.
Yeah, but still, it's like...
It's like 0.5% of the votes.
I don't know. Like, and Kopitar at 7, it's like, okay, but he wouldn't even been in my like top 10 this year. So like, I don't know. It's just weird.
Mitchell Marner got a 5th place vote.
Yeah, that's also...
Luke Glendening. Mike Babcock's favorite player.
Mike Babcock gets votes too. Wow, you learn so much these days,
man.
How
did Noah Chari get a 2nd place vote? Tell me. Someone explain this to me. Explain it to me, Ty. Explain this to me. I don't get it.
They wanted some Florida representation. They have no one else on any of the ballots.
They have Barkov on this one.
Barkov.
Oh, my bad. Sorry.
And I feel like Huberto is probably somewhere on. No, no, he's not.
I think that what this shows is that when it comes to voting for the defensive players, the best defensive players, I think we're getting better at that. Sorry, not we, but they are getting better at that because, again, Yossi was a layup, right?
But they are also somehow voting Draisaitl as the fifth best defensive player in the NHL. So maybe we aren't getting that much better
they
at it.
They did? Are you kidding me?
He had one fifth place vote.
Oh, okay. I think he was fifth in the voting.
Oh, no. Someone voted him as the fifth.
That is pretty bad. Like, whoever did that should be fired.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, you don't know hockey at that point. He was a minus player. Like, even looking at the basic.
Yeah, like, anything you look at would be like, oh. Or you could just watch him play and him just, like, skate near the blue line for the entire shift in the defensive zone. Wait for someone else to get the
puck. He's supposed to be a center.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, you can look at anything. You can look at your stupid, like, you can look at the stupid plus minus. You can watch him just skate around near the blue line waiting for someone to break out, give him a breakout pass. You can look at the advanced stats. I don't care what you look at. How does he become the fifth best defensive player in the NHL? I don't know. Doesn't make any sense.
But the majority, you're always going to have these outlier votes. Right?
I bet it's like, the same guy that voted Lindell as the third best defenseman in the NHL.
It's no different than a regular election, right? Like, people vote for the Canadian Marijuana Party, right? And people vote for the Canadian Communist Party.
Ty, these are supposed to be experts in the field of hockey.
Yeah, this isn't political scientists, like, voting like this, for...
How many people get a vote? Like, the top 100 writers or something?
Yeah, like it's so elitist. I hate it.
Yeah, let me vote, guys. I run a talking hockey page. I want votes.
Hey, you know what?
That's supposed to make it, like, better. Like, they're supposed to be the most knowledgeable of the sport.
To be fair, we probably get more views than half the writers on the GMs that vote for these awards do.
Pardon?
We probably get more views on our page than like 90% of the writers that voted for this award. I bet.
Well, apply for the Professional Hockey Writers Association.
What?
You can apply for the Professional Hockey Writers Association.
Will they allow me? Is talking hockey enough?
I think that we're giving them too much credit, though, like to say that they're the smartest people in the world just because they aren't about hockey.
No,
they're definitely
not. But like they should be.
They should be the best. They should be like.
Shouldn't the best- like the GMs and the presidents be the smartest people in the world?
Yeah, but like outside of the league.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, if you're talking about people outside of the league, they should be focusing on getting like the smartest writers, right? But yes. Then there's guys that are voting Lindell third, Draisaitl fifth in the Selke.
Like, I think a guy like Friedman should have to post all five of his picks for every trophy.
No,
just every single they do. A lot of these writers do that, though.
Every single writer should have to post all their picks, and then on top of that, they should have to write up at least a paragraph write up for each pick. And then
well, I don't know
if they thought about it at all.
I'm not saying that every single one of them does, but a lot of them are releasing articles like why I voted these guys for my picks. Like,
no, but
Pierre
it's not
LeBrun
a lot,
does it.
It's a couple of them. We're seeing like you see like 20 of those articles come out and there's like 100 votes. There's
Pierre LeBrun's untrustworthy, apparently based on that trade.
It got stalled, dude. It's not his fault. It was gonna happen, but then they forgot Hornquist has a no trade
it
clause.
Kevin Weeks that broke it.
Kevin Weeks broke it. Yeah. So.
Sure.
But anyways, I completely agree with Martin. They should be forced to have to do a write up if they're voting on these awards. You're getting the privilege of picking all these award winners. You should have to put in the minimum amount of effort required to write like paragraph on your explanation for why you picked each person at the area that you did. Because there's
Friedman just talked about on his podcast about like he was part of the group that told two guys that they were getting votes this year or something. And like, they were talking about how the guys were so honored mm-hmm. and felt like so like
Yeah, they should be. That's a huge honor. Like, do you know how many people wish they could be have a voice in this?
So they should be good at it.
Exactly. And they should be good at it, and they should be at least having to put in the minimum amount of effort required for us to understand why the hell they made the picks that they did. Because there's
I want to hear how you justify Leon Draisaitl with your fifth best defensive player in the league this year.
Or Lindell at 3, or Doughty at 3, or all these other like random picks. Like, you have to, and then once people see the justification of blocked shots, PK minutes, and whatever the hell else I mentioned earlier, or defensive zone starts, and that's your criteria for it, then okay. But then people can at least notice that and be like, wow, okay, people will learn how useless it is to use these awards in ranking players when they realize the incredibly flawed, like,
reasoning
behind all these picks are. Like, that's
someone will see the fifth place vote for Draisaitl as a Selke vote and be like, he's a good defensive player, according to one dude.
Yep. People will be like, oh, no, he got a vote for the Selke. He must be something. He must be good at something defensively. Exactly. Or, I don't know. There's so many weird picks. Like, Taves hasn't been a really good defensive player in a couple years. I don't know how Noel Achari got a vote for second. Giroux got a vote for second.
Man, Brandon Tanev got 2/3 votes.
Yeah, that's also kind of weird. And then analytics favorite Zach Ashton Reese got a 5th and a 4th place vote. But yeah. Anyway. What other awards do we want to cover?
I don't know if there's really any other ones too.
There was the Art Ross. No, not the Art Ross. There was
let's rank who deserved the Art Ross the most.
Jack Adams.
Number one should have been.
No, I don't really care about the Jack Adams. Boston won. Whatever. Who cares?
We already talked about it last week.
Did we?
I think so.
Did we?
Did we not?
No, I don't think we talked about the Jack Adams. We talked about GM of the year, but I don't
listen.
Think
Jack Adams should have been Barry Trotz. That's all I'm going to say.
Jack Adams should have been John Tortorella.
But that too. I would have been.
That's true.
That.
Yeah, but I don't think. I think Bruce Cassidy was like one of the least deserving out of all the like the top like five.
I would have taken guys. Jared Bednar.
I would have taken Mike Sullivan. I would have picked Jared Bednar.
Mike Sullivan, come on.
Sullivan's a good coach, dude.
Sullivan's a very good
coach.
He's
a good coach, but I don't think he...
I feel like
not
he
this
doesn't
year.
Get credit enough for what he for what he's done in Pittsburgh. Like
Vigneault should have got it. Alain Vigneault, he could have gotten it. I would have been fine with that.
I also have a hot take that Tampa's coach, Cooper, deserves...
John Cooper is an amazing coach, and he seems like an even better person. Anyone who knocks John Cooper...
Like, yes, he has a power team, so you can't give him the award. He probably shouldn't win it, but he should definitely have gotten more votes than David Quinn and, he did get more votes than David Quinn. Sorry, I meant Paul Maurice and Dave Tippett. I definitely would have had him above those two guys.
Yeah.
Because
Cooper is a top coach in the league, too.
He is. And, like, what did Dave Tippett do that was so revolutionary this year?
Draisaitl got 3 trophies, so
yeah, he put Draisaitl in a position where he got outscored at even strength. Congratulations.
Correct.
Good job. Great coaching.
Yep.
But
all right, and that's the episode, boys.
Okay, goodbye.
I think that's so to summarize,
I want to do a game.
Yeah, Ty's lying down on his bed now, like just looking kind of weird right now.
And he's in the dark.
all the way over there.
I don't like
he
that.
He looks
uncomfortable
right
with
now.
You guys just sitting in the dark like that.
I turned on my light. So.
I'm sitting in the dark.
If I turn on my above light, there's glare. Right now I'm glowing perfectly.
Okay, maybe on your screen.
Yeah.
Boys, but I have an update for you after the recording, so I'm going to stop recording now. Thank you everyone for tuning in to this week's episode
Goodbye.
Of Talking Hockey. Let us know what your hockey
thank you
podcast votes no hockey vote votes would have been. Draisaitl is not deserving of anything but the Art Ross. And that will be the headline of this episode is Draisaitl gets undeserved awards. Who do you think should have won?
If we want to cause the maximum amount of conflict, you just put Draisaitl doesn't deserve the heart as the podcast episode.
Yeah. Why Draisaitl does not deserve the heart or the Ted Lindsay award.
Or the Art Ross. Just throw more.
Or Ty gets Phil Pritchard on podcast.
One day, man. Maybe.
All right.
Goodbye.
I don't believe you.
Goodbye.